I want to start off right now by addressing all the binge lords out there, because I am the host of Binge Movies, and a host is only as good as his word. At the beginning of season 4.3, I said that the ink was not yet dry on the contract, but I would deliver to the people two amazing podcasters to come on for our last movie standing episode to determine what movie should be preserved for all time, even beyond the end times. I gave you my word. I said I was done. I was out. I was going to retire, at least for a while. I was not going to be on the episode. I was going to be an impartial judge, a moderator of sorts. And lo and behold, the cards got dealt. The die got cast. And let's just say that some people are not men of their word. And now I have this unenviable task of having to go back on my word to you. I've got to break my word to you. And I've got to do it myself. And quite frankly, the stakes have never been higher. And you might be thinking, Jason, that doesn't make any sense. The stakes are always high. You're trying to determine which movie should be preserved for all time. That's always what's on the dotted line when it comes to binge movies. You start with 30 films and you leave the season with one movie. So how in the hell could the stakes be higher now? And I'm going to tell you, folks, the stakes are higher because it's personal now, you see. It's personal because I have to face Joe from Real Spoilers. And let me tell you about Joe. Joe's a generous man. Joe's a good man. And dare I say, Joe's even a friend. And in this industry, in this business of podcasting, that's a damn rare thing. With everybody scratching and clawing for retweets and downloads, for a man who has worked himself with blood, sweat, and tears into a grave, for every download, for every Patreon supporter, for every follower, for him to appear on your show with the hopes of maybe sharing a little bit of the spotlight he's earned. A little bit of the attention, a little bit of the audience that he's cultivated to bring them over to your show to help you. Well, there aren't too many people that will do that. Let me just tell you that right now. There aren't too many podcasters out there like Joe. So I don't just consider him a peer in this industry. I consider him a friend. And that's why the stakes are so high, because we're not just talking about what would be preserved for all time in a film sense. We're talking about a preservation of a friendship. And I didn't even want to be in this place. So now I've got to break my word, I've got to lie to my audience, and I've got to face my friend in a last movie standing episode. My back is against the wall, and I'm supposed to be retired, but I've got no choice. So I simply want to say this to you, Joe. Joe, you are my friend, and every day leading up to this, I will be on my hands and knees, and I will be pleading with the God of heaven and earth. I will be on my knees, begging the Lord's mercy, that when the mics are off and the smoke is cleared and the episodes are downloaded all around the world, that you and I still get to be friends. But Joe, as your friend, as your brother, I can't lie to you. As much as I'm praying that we're friends, I'm praying that much harder that I win. Because if I'm going to break my word, if I'm going to break my promise, if I'm going to go back on everything my father ever taught me, then I'm not going to do it to lay down in the dirt and die like a dog. I'm going to do it to beat your ass. Not for me. And not because of anything you've done, because all you've done is good to me. But for the people. For the binge lords, for the subscribers, for those who will listen to this episode, I cannot come at you, Joe, with half a shot. I cannot come at the king of real spoilers and dare miss. If I'm coming, I'm coming for your head. Because in a last movie standing episode, there can be only one.
I was brought into this show because Jason didn't have a co-host. I wasn't brought on because I was brazen, because I knew my shit. I was brought onto this show because I have the balls to say what no one else has the balls to say. And it's funny because I'm back. Jason bent over backwards to bring me back. The reason it's funny is because all I ever wanted was this microphone. See, this microphone is power. In anyone else's hands, it's nothing. But in my hands, this microphone is a pipe bomb. I'm going to show you listeners and Jason why my movie will live forever. And Jason's will be forgotten for all time. Do I have your attention now?
Binge Movies presents the granddaddy of them all, Last Movie Standing. Good friends, better enemies.
Can you be the one who's left missing me? Yeah! This time I'ma let it all come out. This time I'ma stand up and shout. I'ma do things my way. It's my way. My way or the highway. This time I'ma let it all come out. This time I'ma stand up and shout. I'ma do things my way. It's my way. My way or the highway.
I'm joined, as always, by the Ass Man, Mr. Ass, Reverend Ass, Combat Jones, who's going to be the official, impartial moderator of this friendly debate. It's going to be him. He's going to be applying the rules, which we'll get to in a second. I promised you the best. I brought you the best. Back from the season premiere, here for the end of season 4.3, Joe from The Real Spoilers.
What's up, man?
He's our sweet pea. He's our sweet pea.
Thank you. All right. Thank you.
He's our angel. We want the angel.
We want the angel.
I got to tell you, I've been called many things. It's the first time for those.
That's what the binge lords were saying to us, though. They said that, hey, man, whoever that guy was that was on the Marvel episode, he's really good. You guys have a good rapport. You should have him back on. I thought, who better to come back on for?
Are you making shit up? Or are you serious?
No, right now? I'm being dead serious.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. And he started saying, we want the angel. We want the angel to take us to the light.
Give us the sweet pea.
Give us the sweet pea. And
yeah,
so,
all right.
So I was like, well, I guess that's Joe. He's the sweet pea.
I guess
pea.
That's me.
Who else could it be?
About, they're talking about Kevin. That's the.
No, they're not. Nope. Kevin may
was Danny Tanner.
Yeah, Kevin. Yeah. Kevin may be the Danny Tanner of movie reviews, but
yeah, that's pretty good. I like
he,
that.
He was divisive among some of the binge lords, which threw me for a loop. Which just tells you who's listening to this show.
I like, get it.
Yeah, we want that Joe.
Yeah, bring back the foul mouthed asshole.
No, we don't want America's nicest.
You're among them.
Yeah, right.
That guy votes for the Oscars. We don't want him. We want Joe.
He's the Oscars.
He's our kind of guy. So we
that's our people.
Yeah. He's one of us. Gooble gobble. Gooble gobble.
One of us.
So we brought him back. We're going to do this. Here are the rules. We've modified it from previous seasons. Trying to make it a little bit more organized. Here's what it's going to be. The ass man's going to flip a coin.
Yeah, I'm an ass.
wise man.
Yeah! Joe, you're going to call heads or tails.
Okay.
If you win the coin toss, you get to decide whether you want to pick first the movie you want to pick, whether you want the number one draft pick. You will be defending what we call the guest list. It'll be guests like you who've appeared all season long have picked the best of the week, and that we've got five of the best. Combat Jones, what is on the guest list?
First, we have from Marvel Phase 2 episode, you picked this one, Joe. It's Captain America, the Winter Soldier. From Forgotten Films, the 1980s, Part 3, David Rosen from Piecing Together picked Dead Heat with the surprise of a lifetime.
I mean, it's not a bad movie.
Told you. I told you, Joe. I told you Joe would think it wasn't a bad movie.
I know.
I didn't say it was the best. I'm just saying it's not a bad movie.
You've already said enough.
He truly is one of us. All right, what was next?
Top grossing movies of 1996, Part 1, I chose The Birdcage.
Uh-huh.
Top grossing movies of 96, Part 2, The Lady Wan picked Independence Day.
Yes.
And in the Halloween franchise.
I got problems with this pick.
Well, you can take it up with our Pumpkin Spice Latte.
Yep.
Yeah.
Our Down Under Dirty
Paul
Chai.
Paul from the Countdown. That's right.
Uh-huh.
Paul from the Countdown picked Halloween H2O.
He's our own personal sexual Xanadu.
How do you?
He's a video freak and a sex maniac, that Paul.
How do you pick H2O when one of the greatest movies of all time starts that franchise?
Because we didn't do that first.
Because the first Halloween's already in the vault, Joe. Thanks for
listening. As well it should be.
Thanks for listening.
How far back is that one?
It's pretty far back.
Episode 30 okay. something?
Yeah, we're
I'm
50
I'm like
some
6 months back.
Yeah, we're 50 some episodes back.
Yeah.
It was the first movie we ever put into the vault. So
that's a good. Okay. As long as that one's in there, then that's fine.
Yeah. So we prized it so much, it was our first entry ever. So that's how much we love Halloween.
That's fair. Okay.
But what I'm feeling there is there might be a little, future confrontation between Paul and Joe.
That's my franchise, man. Like that is my. I could tell you every front and back. I know everything about those. Well, I'm not gonna say that.
If we could somehow get two podcasters that aren't me to show up at the same fucking time for a show, then we might do that. So Joe's gonna be defending the guest list. I will be defending my own short list. Combat Jones, what's on my short list? Tell the people at home.
First, we have from Marvel Phase 2, Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Joe and I were in agreement there.
Agreement. Jason, for your Forgotten Films in the 1980s, Part 3, you chose Miracle Mile.
Indeed.
For the top grossing movies of 1996, Part 1, you chose A Time to Kill.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good movie.
Top grossing movies of 1996, Part 2, they had you at Hello with Jerry Maguire.
Oh, yeah.
It seems fair.
And Halloween franchise you picked, and this was mine too, Halloween 3.
Season of the Witch.
Of the Witch.
Tom Atkin fucks.
Yes.
Like I've said
yeah, he does.
If I ever get the opportunity to make any sort of movie, Tom Atkins, John Saxton, they're in it. Like
didn't
I don't
John
know what
Saxton
they're gonna, I don't
die?
Know who they're gonna be.
John Saxton's dead, I think.
Is he?
I think he died like last year.
Did he really?
Or this year?
Well,
might have rigor mortis.
They got CG.
Yeah, he did. He died. He died July 25th, 2020.
Oh damn it! Well, Tom Atkins gets two parts.
2020 just keeps taking them
away.
Yeah. No, Tom Atkins. He had a lot of nipple play with Tom Atkins, as we talked about on that episode. So,
have you seen The Fog?
Oh yeah, we've covered The Fog.
Oh, Carpenter is, yeah. Like the fact that
Paul
he
and
just
I think Paul and I talked
bed.
About the fog. Or was that Pat and I that talked about the fog?
I think it was you and Pat.
Okay. Yeah, that was our John so Carpenter good. Part one retrospective.
Part one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we,
if
we,
you know that
we've
he
got a,
was
we've,
in the.
We've got a trilogy of John Carpenter movies, but I haven't done the third part in 2 years because we're at the 90s and I was like, Memoirs of the Invisible Man.
Not good. Okay. Is Vampires on that list?
Vampires is on that list.
Vampires should have done better, but it got swallowed up by From Dusk Till Dawn.
It would be In the Mouth of Madness, Vampires, Village of the Dam, Memoirs of the Invisible
Ghost
Man.
Ghost of Mars?
Ghost of Mars was like 2000.
2001?
2001, I think, yeah.
Okay, okay.
So there's one more in there, and it's not Body Bags.
I love John Carpenter.
Oh, so do I.
I smell a future episode, guys.
Bring it on.
I literally have had it on every list for every season. I'm like, let me do this other one instead. Because we're going to do the trilogy. We're going to do three seasons and cover Carpenter's whole career, basically. And I was like,
he's one of my favorites.
I can't watch Village of the Damned again. Sorry, Christy Alley and Christopher
Reeve. And Superman.
Christopher Reeve, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Can't fucking do it. All right, so how this is going to work is you've got the guest list, which you'll be defending. I've got my short list, which I'll be defending, apparently. And you'll pick the coin flip. You'll get to choose whether or not you pick your movie first or whether or not you get to argue first, essentially.
Okay.
That gives you basically two advantages of either you get your premier movie or your premier argument. And then we're going to have essentially a snake debate where explain how the debate's going to work at home and what the rounds are going to be, Combat Jones. And these are going to be timed rounds. No interruptions, unlike some other fuckers.
I'll edit your ass out.
Yeah, we'll just be edited out. The mics will be shut off. Yeah. It's really sad when Binge Movies has more stringent debate policy.
I'm speaking.
Mr. Joe.
That's time, Mr. Joe.
Mr. The Real Spoilers. Mr. Real Spoilers. That's the only time.
Joe Spoilers. Spoilers. Yeah. How are the rounds going to work?
Okay, so first off, we have the initial argument where you make your argument for the round. Whoever doesn't get to pick the movie first, they're the ones who kick it off. And then if you get first pick, then you go second. However, in the rebuttal round, so you get 5 minutes to make your initial opening argument, and then you get a 3-minute rebuttal. Mm-hmm. And so if whoever gets the pick of the movie and whoever made their opening argument last gets to make the rebuttal first.
Mm-hmm.
And so the person who got to get the movie second, they will make the final rebuttal, and then there'll be a 90-second closing remarks that will go in the snake order. So whoever went first gives their closing statement first. Then whoever picked the movie first gets the last closing statement.
Yep. Makes sense?
It. Yep.
These all be timed, so it'll be 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 90 seconds, and not a lot of crosstalk. Your mic will be cut. And then when we're done here, we're going to then turn to the Binge Lords of Twitter at Binge Movies. There's the official timer. It's a real thing, not a gimmick. And
it's not a Royal Rumble clock.
No. It won't be gimmick time. Where is it? Is it not?
Yes,
is it 90 seconds? Is it 15 minutes?
It could be 2 minutes. It could be a minute. You just go out there. Nobody knows.
Nope.
Yeah, I just go. I don't fucking.
We don't have Papa Dave to keep track of real times in real time.
That's correct. So we'll have a real clock, real time. You have to stop when the clock goes off, so be mindful of your time. Then we'll turn to the Binge Lords on Twitter at Binge Movies. We'll say who you think had the best argument overall. And the goal here is we're trying to pick the best movie, but that movie isn't just a movie in and of itself. It's also a representation of sort of the canon of film. Imagine you're putting a movie into a vault, as we will, you're preserving it for all time, and future generations are going to look back. What individual movie on its own merits and its place in history has the most significance and would teach future generations the most about the canon of film and film history? So just
real quick. So if I choose to pick my argument and not the film,
yeah,
that means you get to pick the film first.
Correct. By default, yeah. Yeah. Like football, yes, are you going to be on offense or defense, essentially?
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
Kickoff.
But I'm defending my movie.
Still, yes.
Right, yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, got it.
Yep. All right, I can't pick anything from the guest list. You can't pick anything from my list, so.
Yep. Not a problem.
Okay. All right, it's time. Before we do that, before the coin flip, we have to do what we call first cut. These are the movies that are on the bottom of our list. These are the three movies that didn't make it to the top of our list. These are the movies we are eliminating first. Joe, let's start with you. What are you cutting from the guest list straight off the bat? What didn't make first cut?
dead heat, gone.
Mine was the first baby.
All right, why?
As far as dead heat goes, I'm a kid of the 80s, right? Like, I grew up with Arnold, with all of those guys. But with the movie on the, it just, it's not on the level. It just doesn't. Plus, you got the lesser of the Belushis, right?
No, you're thinking Red Heat. Dead Heat is Joe Piscopo and Treat Williams, who are playing zombie cops.
Oh, then it is absolutely on the bottom of my list.
That's why we're shocked.
Yeah. Oh, I was thinking Red Heat.
Yeah.
No, Dead Heat.
Dead Heat is off without even thinking twice. What a pile of shit.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And then what else I had? The Birdcage, I don't know. Like, that is not a movie that ages well.
No. Certain things in it really don't age well at all.
Robin Williams is the problem in that movie. I don't think in 2020 you can advocate for a straight man playing a gay man. That's not a thing you can do.
Okay. So Birdcage is gone. What's your final cut?
Final cut is Independence Day.
Holy shit!
I know that it is a movie making performance. It is a pretty fantastic 90s spectacle of a movie. But as far as the other two go, that's it. Independence Day is out.
No gimmick. As we're taught, like, my mouth is literally gaping open.
Wow. Yeah, same.
There's somebody out there going to be in my DMs when this episode drops.
Good. That's what I want. That's exactly what I want.
I'm so sorry. And it's on the guest list, so I can't pick it even if I wanted to save it. I can't even argue.
Wow. The beam came down and destroyed.
Uh-huh. Holy shit, wow. Joe. What a swerve. God damn.
I mean, when you put I'm going to tell you right now, you put a Halloween movie on my list, it's going to win every time.
Oh, man. Oh, buddy. Okay. All right.
Plus, Roland Emmerich's a hack.
It's true. Yeah. Man, you just rocked, literally. I thought David Rosen gave us the biggest swerve of the season when he put Dead Heat.
No.
And then you come in the finale.
That would be so bad. I'm so pissed that I thought that was Red Heat.
It made it better.
Yeah.
Well, your brain automatically went to the more well-known movie. You heard, you know.
True. It did. Yeah.
No way someone picked fucking Dead Heat.
No.
But he had a good reason, though. He liked it because it was so bad it was good.
That's not a thing. I'm sorry.
I see a future standoff between David Rosen from Piecing Together and Joe from Real Sports.
He's coming and shooting.
I know, man. God damn, son. All right, well,
watch your head.
My first cuts. I'm literally shell shocked. I don't even remember what the fuck was on my list.
God damn.
I did not see that coming. As much as I enjoy the movie, and I really do, and I advocate for it, and I'm one of those people, and blah, blah, blah. Listen to our Halloween episode with Paul. Paul thought I was insane. Joe will probably think I'm insane.
You're not.
But Halloween 3.
I think Halloween 3 is a fantastic
movie. The Season of the Witch. It made it to my short list, but we already have, in my opinion, the superior Halloween, which is the original. And I appreciate Halloween 3 for being a bold step in a different direction. I think the yearly anthology, they were already releasing the original Halloween every year at Halloween up until they made Halloween 2. But I think doing an anthology series of John Carpenter Presents Halloween, subtitle, whatever. Like I said on that episode, I think it was an amazing idea. I feel sorry the audiences weren't ready for it. Maybe that wasn't the right movie to lead off with. Maybe having a direct sequel with Michael Myers in it and then following it up with an offshoot would have thrown people off. I think that idea would work better today than it did then. Obviously, we've talked about some horror series that have done that to some extent. You know, have created a universe essentially. But for me, just we're talking about preservation for all time. Halloween 3. Much as I enjoy it, I just can't put it on the list, so I'm cutting it right there. My next cut is going to be 1996's A Time to Kill. It's a really solid movie. It's a good movie. But as Joe is saying with The Birdcage, there's some things in that movie that don't age all that well, up to and including the schmaltzy ending, where the white folks show up at a picnic uninvited. And while it does touch on the fact that, hey, he picked this white lawyer because he has the instilled prejudices of the town within him. He didn't pick him because he's different. He picked him because he's just like them, even though he thinks he's not. And that's a good thing. I think if that movie were made today, it would be a much more forward-leaning much more from the perspective of the African-American character and less the rich white lawyer. And McConaughey's good in it. Doesn't have nothing to do with performances. The cast is good. Everybody's...
That's right before, like, the romantic comedy McConaughey, right? Or is that right in the middle of
it? Yeah, it's kind of right before. Yeah, it's when he was trying to do the more serious stuff, you know. It's when he was trying to really make him that matinee idol.
Right.
And so it's a, you know, it's a fine film, but I don't think it's something that's 50 years from now we'll be talking about. So that's my next cut, and then God damn, it threw me off.
I know. I'm still kind of reeling, man.
Oh shit.
All puns intended.
What's left on my list? I just lost it.
You have The Winter Soldier, Miracle Mile, and Jerry Maguire.
Oh, my final cut is going to be Jerry Maguire. It won a ton of Academy Awards. It may be the best work of Tom Cruise's career. It's definitely the best work, I think, of Renee Zellweger's career. It's Cameron Crowe. It's got some cheesy but yet effective dialogue. I effusively praised it. I think it's worthy of checking out before it's eliminated and burns in cinematic hell forever. So get it while you can. We have it available at Binge Movies. Come on down and see us in sunny tropical Akron, Ohio.
Do you have it on Betamax?
We have it on every format conceivable. Yep.
Yeah, dude.
So we even have it on thumb drive somehow. I don't know. So, and those things are damn hard to kind of track. You don't have to rewind them, which is good, but I just have 10 million thumb drives around with different movies on them. So it's very...
I remember those days.
We have those CD binders just with like weird...
Oh, my God.
Weird Taiwanese... dubs of Hollywood movies. Yeah,
I had a few of those.
So that's gonna be my last cut. So it's time to flip the coin to see who gets to pick first and who gets to go first. Combat Jones,
the binge movie ceremonial coin.
Yeah,
as you guys can see,
on one side it's Kevin Dunn, on the other side it's Dom DeLuise.
Oh shit!
So you gotta call Dunn or DeLuise. Dunn is heads, DeLuise is tails.
Got it.
Okay.
Done.
Done. Joe gets first pick. Joe, what are you picking?
I'm going to choose to argue.
Oh. Oh, no.
This can go one of two ways. It's either going to work in my favor or I just fuck myself.
The two movies that are left on the table for Joe are what, Combat Jones?
They are Halloween H2O and Captain America the Winter Soldier.
And for me, it's Captain America the Winter Soldier or Miracle Mile. Now, the question for me is, do I want to throw this whole thing into a major swerve?
Don't fuck around with the vault, man.
Hey, the dark movie overlords have left this task up to me. If they're going to force me to binge these movies, then I get to pick what movie I'm going to defend. I'm not even supposed to be here.
There's certain things that are sacred. This is one of them.
So that leaves the task to me to pick first. For my pick, the number one pick of season 4.3, for what's going to go into the vault, I pick...
I legit have, like, goosebumps and butterflies. I'm not even fucking around.
Oh, my God.
I pick.
Oh, my God. Come on. God.
I pick Marvel's Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
So, for the record, that was going to be what I picked.
Oh, for sure. We knew that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just threw the whole thing into... disarray.
So now I argue why H2O should go in.
Well, that leaves you with a pick of Halloween H2O. You get 5 minutes opening arguments. You tell us when you're ready, and Combat Jones will hit the timer button. You have five uninterrupted. You'll have 5 uninterrupted minutes.
I'm ready when you are.
Start in 5, 4, 3, 2, one.
So the Halloween movies are probably the best franchise in the horror genre, right? They have kept somewhat of a story, and when they realized that their story could not go any farther, they went back and did something that no other horror franchise had done before, no other movie franchise had done before. They said, we're going to forget everything that happened after 2, and our sequel is going to go back to, since it's 20 years after the original Halloween, that's where we'll start. We'll bring back Laurie Strode. We'll use the same format that Carpenter used, where we'll introduce brand new actors, and we will end this series. Now, obviously, it's a horror franchise, and they realize that they make money, so they're not really going to end them. But at the time, it's a definitive ending, which with the exception of Friday the 13th, nobody really gave you a definitive ending. And I argue, Jason Goes to Hell does not give you a definitive ending. So what they do with this one is they bring back the iconic character of Laurie Strode. You introduce her son in a movie star making performance from Josh Hartnett. You get the iconic mask and score. The advantage that I think this one has is they add Kevin Williamson. Now, if you don't know who Kevin Williamson is, he is the writer and I think creator of Dawson's Creek, which is, I'm showing my age, I know, was a massive show. He also was involved in the Scream movies. And they figured they could give this guy a shot at the Halloween franchise. This is a funny movie. There's a lot of comedy there. It is a scary movie. There is definitely some gore, right? Like, it's the 2000s, so there's going to be some gore. But they keep the Carpenter way of doing things alive. A lot of this movie is built on tension, which I think is the advantage of the first Halloween movie. I think, you know, it's going to be hard to debate against probably the greatest Marvel film ever made, but I believe that Halloween H2O deserves a spot in the vault. I yield my time.
All right, that was Joe's argument. Jason, you're going to start your opening argument in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
First and foremost, I want to say to all the binge lords out there, I want to say thank you for listening. I think Joe had a compelling argument. He had some angles and some things I never would have thought of considering Halloween H2O. So thank Joe for being here. Appreciate that. But when we talk about legacy, we have to talk about things that define a generation of filmmaking, and I can't think of anything that defined really the 2010s to today any more than the superhero genre. The 21st century so far in film, some would argue for better, some would argue for worse, has been dominated by superhero films. Recently, even Alan Moore came out and talked about how the superhero genre has essentially, you know, taken over almost as a social malady the minds of the world, right? The minds of adults and children. And once again, some people see that as negative, some people see that as positive, but no movies have consecutively grossed more money at the box office than superhero films. And when you think about the pinnacle of superhero films, outside of, say, a Batman Begins or The Dark Knight, which are fine films, no franchise, for lack of a better term, has dominated more than the Marvel MCU. Now, admittedly, as we talked about in the MCU episode, a lot of those movies are kind of standard fare. They're hit or miss, and especially with the sequels tend to be kind of, as some would argue, a mid-run from a creative team that's best days, or maybe we're behind them, or their best ideas had already been used up. And yet here we get a sequel that is superior to the original, that is launching an entire new phase, so it's got that on its shoulders, and yet stands alone as a successful movie on its own terms, but also the pinnacle of the franchise that is the pinnacle of the genre. We have the genre of the superhero film, the pinnacle of which is the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And the pinnacle of the Marvel Cinematic Universe is in its second phase in a sequel, Captain America, the Winter Soldier. When future generations look back on this era of cinema history, when they look back at what has kept movie theaters open and functioning up until now, what has been the biggest draw, it's going to be superhero films. It's going to be Marvel. And when they think, what is the best Marvel movie to date, as we're arguing here today, it is, without a doubt, some would even give it a perfect score, a 10 out of a possible 10, it is Captain America, the Winter Soldier. And I will yield whatever time I have left.
All right, we've heard both of the opening arguments. Both were straight to the point, under time. Now we'll switch to the rebuttal phase of the debate. Jason, you will go first. You'll get 3 minutes. And then Joe, you will have a chance to rebuttal after that. Jason, your 3 minutes starts in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Halloween H2O brought back Jamie Lee Curtis and John Carpenter as a producer. And it's a fine film on its own terms, especially in comparison to some of the Halloween sequels we would see after and some of the Halloween sequels we would see before. It's a fine film. It's an enjoyable film. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I praised it very highly on our show. So I can't knock the movie on its own merits. But the movie does something... The movie does something that I would say has actually been dangerous to the integrity of film. Joe mentioned the fact that they basically said, well, just pretend that all these sequels back to this point don't really matter. They didn't really happen. It's all a joke, or it's all a thing, or it's all a different continuity. So we're starting a whole new continuity, but we're going to do, you know, go back to the second film. And that might not seem like that big of a deal, but essentially, Halloween H2O, that's the legacy of that movie, is that it introduced this concept of retconning, which had been done in comic books for years and years, and television shows, but it introduced it into the world of film. And when you introduce retconning into the world of film, with studios who are thirsty for all of your money, who want to gobble up all of your coins, like coin goblins who live under a bridge, some sort of troll, the studio heads realize that we no longer have to have movies with stakes, because any movie with any particular consequence can be undone in the next movie if the box office doesn't really deliver. We can keep these franchises alive forever and ever and ever. And then if we want a fan service continuity that appeals more to the fans, we can go in that direction, or if we want a different continuity. And so the argument that I would make is that Halloween H2O really brought to the forefront what we've saw at Fox with those terrible X-Men series of films, where the continuity never made any sense because they would just constantly redo it anytime they fell into a ditch. I would say we wouldn't get the Rob Zombie continuity, which is terrible, if it weren't for Halloween H2O. I would say that we wouldn't get not only the X-Men franchise, but the DCEU, which has now driven itself into a ditch, has basically said, just pretend like parts of that movie happened, but other parts of the movie didn't happen. And now you got to remember this, but you got to forget that. And ultimately what you do when you do that is you confuse your audience, you lower stakes, and nothing means anything in film anymore. When something was on film, it used to be concrete. It used to have a beginning and a middle and an end. And now, because of Halloween H2O, movies no longer have beginnings, middles, and endings. They go on and on and on forever. Whenever there's a failure, you can just erase it, just ignore it. All the time and money you spent in the theater was a waste of time.
That was Jason's argument. Now, Joe, you will have a chance to rebuttal that in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
While I don't disagree with what Jason has said about what H2O has done, I will disagree that it's not H2O that did it. It's Halloween Resurrection that did it. H2O initially was supposed to be just a standalone movie with a definitive ending. When they realized that it had made as much money as it had, they did Halloween Resurrection, which is what it is in the pantheon of Halloween films. But we get the Rob Zombie stuff because of Resurrection, not H2O. Now that that's out of the way, I do agree that Captain America: The Winter Soldier is a fantastic movie. Obviously, I rated it 10 out of 10. Jason and I both picked it to save from the second season of the, or the second phase of the MCU. Here's the issue you run into with Captain America. Captain America: The Winter Soldier is the first, I believe it's the first time that the MCU and Disney handpicked a storyline from the comics. When you do that, I feel like you are starting to negate any sort of originality that you may have. This is also the beginning of the Russo brothers, where Disney kind of decided, and maybe not go after the prestige directors, but we hire somebody on the cheap. Now, in this case, it has worked out in their favor. Obviously, the Russo brothers have gone on to create probably the highest grossing film of all time, but what sort of precedent does that set when other film companies decide to go on the cheap and not hire capable directors? I mean, we can talk about Zack Snyder or we can't. They, you know, the DCU has tried to take that approach, and it has gotten, it has got them three movies that are train wrecks. And now here we are, they've yet to get anything else off the ground because they keep trying to copy a model that Disney and the MCU and Kevin Feige have set. The other issue with Captain America is it is part of this overarching franchise that cannot get away, that cannot really tell its own story because it's muddled with Hydra and a billion other different things that they have to tie in together to move from one movie to the next. You can't watch The Winter Soldier as a standalone movie without going on forward or going backward to see what had happened. Halloween H2O is a standalone movie that tells you everything you need to know in the first 15 minutes, and you're off to the races.
All right, that concludes the rebuttal phase of this debate. Next will be the closing statements. Joe, we'll start with you. You get 90 seconds, starting in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
If you're a kid of the 90s, like I am, maybe even the mid to late 80s, you know that how important this the slasher genre is to us. Halloween H2O is a slick, funny homage, while still being its own thing, to those movies. The fact that they were able to sneak in a Janet Leigh cameo while she's driving the car that she drove in Psycho shows you the amount of love and attention that Kevin Williamson and Steven Miner put into that movie. It's got a tough hill to climb going against The Winter Soldier, but in the greater scheme of things, did The Winter Soldier create a movie career? It did not. Halloween H2O created Josh Hartnett, who was one of the biggest draws for a long time until he decided to quit. Go watch H2O, pour over that movie, look at the sets, and don't look at the mask. That's a problem. I'm not going to lie. But look at Jamie Lee Curtis. Jamie Lee Curtis coming back to the role that she created. She is the original Scream Queen. They bring her back to be a badass Laurie Strode, which they kind of do in 2018. But this is a different Laurie Strode. So do yourself a favor. Go pick up H2O on Blu-ray and enjoy.
Jason, you get your final statements starting in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Halloween H2O was contractually not going to be the standalone final film of the franchise, regardless of what Jamie Lee Curtis or John Carpenter wanted, because going back all the way back to the original Babysitter Murders film that was supposed to be made before it was called Halloween, there was a contract in there from the film's first producer before Mustafa Akkad took it over that they had to leave it open for a sequel. And that contract followed the film series all the way through H2O with the Akkads. So there was never going to be a definitive ending, regardless. Second of all, we already have Halloween. The original, not the original slasher, Black Christmas predates it, but really the sort of the granddaddy of them all, the best slasher movie, the best representation. It was the very first thing we put into a vault. Why would we want the imitation when we have the original? When you speak to originality and how if you're mining source material from a comic book, is that any different than mining source material from yourself? Don't think so. So for us, we want originality, but we also want impact. We want legacy. We've got the best. We don't want the imitation. We want a movie that defines a generation of filmmaking. And the movie that defines a generation of filmmaking is the best of its type, which is the superhero genre. And Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
That concludes the debate. Jason, do you want to tell them how the winner's going to be determined?
The winner of this is going to be decided not here, not today. As you listen to this episode, we will be putting up a Twitter poll at Binge Movies. You will get to decide. You will get to vote. That poll will be up there for a few days. There can be only one. This is a Highlander situation. Just like in Halloween H2O, you got to cut Michael Myers' head off. And he may or may not be an EMT, and you may or may not go to a psych ward, and you may or may not have to throw yourself off a building, and you may or may not say, I'll see you in hell, Binge Movies, but...
And give Binge Movies a big old smooch on the weird mask and that. Right.
You may fall to your death. You may fall to your death and disappear into CGI blackness in a terrible wig, but there can be only one. There could be one movie standing, so we want you to think hard about it. We want you to think about who had the best arguments. I think Joe did a great job defending H2O better than I ever would have conceived. I thought for sure he was going to go Winter Soldier, and if I got the pick, then he was going to go Independence Day. And he just came in and just destroyed Independence Day straight off the top, which is... All right, Joe, we thank you for participating in this, my friend.
Oh, man, that was good stuff. That was a lot of fun. Thank you for having me on. It sucks that I couldn't do the Halloween episodes, but... I think H2O out of the, it's for me, it's like one, two, and then H2O. And the 2018 Halloween is a fantastic movie. Like I've mentioned, like, if you have to do like a timeline, like trying to figure out, okay, so there's like this timeline, and then if you go to this one, then there's this. It's the only franchise that has this many, like, not even like the Superman movies have this many different like divergent timelines. But it's a great franchise. If you can afford it, go get the Scream Factory box set, because it's amazing. Like the special features, we talked about that on the MCU episode about special feature nerds. It's amazing. And the H2O, they talk about the CG mask and they couldn't get the mask right and just the problems they had trying to get that thing done. I love that movie. That's so good.
Yeah, and if you haven't checked out our Halloween ranking episode where we ranked all of the Halloween sequels minus the Rob Zombie ones, those don't count. Paul was just on with us.
They count.
That dropped last week, and that is 2+ hours of Halloween content for you. So Binge Lords, if you're out there, you haven't downloaded that one yet, give it a listen. Or maybe you're just checking us out because you're a fan of Joe from Real Spoilers. Check out that episode because it's a good one. If you ever want to hear the mind and spirit of an Australian man break under the weight of the continuity of a film franchise, that motherfucker
it's
breaks.
Tough. It's tough.
He broke as hard as I've ever seen anybody break. And I watched 7 Resident Evil movies back to back and ranked them all.
He broke there too.
Does that dude direct all of those movies? Has he directed every single one?
Are you talking about Paul W.S. Anderson?
Yeah. Has he directed every single one of those?
No, there's like one or two that he didn't direct, and those are the ones that are kind of okay.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, and then he immediately stepped back into the franchise, and it went right back into the shitter. So
yeah, there we go. Okay.
And his wife immediately got back naked. You probably haven't listened to that episode, but my theory on that Resident Evil episode was that the entire Resident Evil franchise was just some kind of marital aid. It was a kink between Paul W.S. Anderson and Mila Jovovich that he just wants to see her in bustiers in an apocalypse shooting zombies with coin-filled shotguns. because somehow he's somewhere on set, you know, just cranking one out. So,
they must have had some marital issues because they just did Monster Hunter.
Yeah, and yeah,
they did, didn't they?
Yeah, they're adapting Monster Hunter. Yeah, that's him and her again, and it's basically just another Resident Evil movie.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. From the same studio that adapted Resident Evil, Constantine Films.
Oh well, all right.
So there's going to be an outrage because I think Monster Hunter is one of the most played video games in the world, especially in Asia. So
oh really?
Yeah, yeah. Yep. It's extraordinarily popular, and they're about to just. Shit all over it.
Sounds like Ghost in the Shell. There you go.
All right, Joe, where can the good binge lords at home find you? Because we got to get you to bed, my friend.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. So you can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21. You can also like us on Facebook, Real Spoilers. That's Real with two E's. Like the Facebook page. And then you can join the group, which is actually kind of the cooler place to be. It's called Real Spoilers, the League of Show Sharers. I know that people on this show have tried to steal our shit.
And I don't know what you're talking about.
Circumvent some stuff.
What? Huh?
But we are the originals. So you know, there you can we post.
No. Technically, Real Spoilers with the Gorillas was out first. So
that's fair.
They have the copyright on Real Spoilers. You're the Real Spoilers.
We are the Real Spoilers. Yeah. Right. That's stupid jalopy.
That's jalopy.
So yeah, you can follow us on Facebook, on Twitter. Like I said, join the league. That's where all the good stuff is. We post there all the time, articles. We post links to the shows, all kinds of stuff. And that's where you can find us. Real Spoilers, Real with two E's. Also, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Spreaker, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
All that good stuff. Anywhere where your finer podcasts are sold, and by sold, I mean given away for free.
That's right. And if you happen to...
And we have a Patreon.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. Patreon.com/RealSpoilers. $5 will get you a bunch of premium content. I'm actually about to do an audio commentary for The Crow.
Nice.
With my good friend Learn from the longest running nationwide rock radio channel in the United States.
Wow.
She's the afternoon DJ on KC95, which is the rock and roll channel here in town. We're both big Crow nerds, so we're going to sit down and do an audio commentary for The Crow, and that'll be available on the Patreon.
Commentary through a mask is going to be difficult, Joe, just putting that out there.
We got it.
We'll just CGI it.
CGI it off.
If you just so happen to follow Joe over from Real Spoilers to here, or maybe you heard me on Real Spoilers, I will not likely be back after my review of Color of Money. I think I heard the heart of Kevin Brackett.
Oh, no way, dude. Like, that would... Dude, you... I was with you.
I heard Kevin Brackett's heart shatter into 10 million pieces. Yeah, I won't be back, but that's all right.
You'll be back. I got something in the works.
All right, you won't hear me ever again on Real Spoilers, but you can hear me.
maybe not on the main feed, but you'll be on the Patreon.
Great. You can hear me. I'll be on Real Spoilers Underground.
Yeah.
Tabacato.
Yeah, I'll be on Real Spoilers Dark. I'll be on.
Where's Tabacato?
Yeah, you can see me on the house shows, but I won't be making television. Yeah, right.
you'll be making the loops. That's about it. No TV time for you.
But you can hear me here on Binge Movies all the time, where we're always constantly ranking movies to determine which one should be preserved for all time, even beyond the end times. We have a Letterboxd account, letterboxd.com/binge movies. You can follow our watch list. You can see what goes into the vault. Watch list is movies that are going to be upcoming on the show, not too distant future. What's in the vault is quite simply what's in the vault. And then we also have a list of all the movies we've covered so far. And we're working on putting links into those posts. So you can actually just, if you see a movie you want to hear us talk about it and you can't quite find it in your feed, click the link. It'll send you right to the episode. We're on Podbean. We're bingemovies.podbean.com. We're on Amazon Podcast or Amazon Music, whatever they're calling it now. Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn. I think Pandora rejected us, but Spotify accepted us. They
fuck them.
Yeah. So we're pretty much everywhere, and you can find good podcasts. And of course, you can always sponsor an episode. It's a pay to play. Pin me, pay me. You give us some money. You give us some money for a feature presentation review. This is above and beyond what we do in the season. So if you want us to just do a deep dive on a particular movie, we'll do it. If you want to do a ranking episode and you want to pick five movies that you want to force me to watch and rank, you can do that as well. You just hit the donate.
What if I throw in some cash and you do? We got to do all the Friday the 13th movies.
You pay us.
There's 12 of those.
Simple as that.
I'm trying to think.
There's 12. Because the next one.
Are you including Freddy versus Jason and Friday the 13th, the remake?
I don't know if I am, but I think the next one would be the 13th, which is like the most missed, botched opportunity.
It's not getting made.
I know. Friday the 13th. Yeah. Literally, you just call it Friday the 13th.
The 13th.
I guess it's the 13th one. So
it would be.
But anything, if you pay for it, we will cover it. We also have Binge Movies merch. You can get a nice waterproof vinyl sticker on there, slap on your Nalgene bottle, whatever you got. It supports the show. All the money goes into making the show better for you guys, giving you the content you want. So check out Real Spoilers. Follow them on social media. Support their show. Support our show. And we appreciate Joe. Joe went above and beyond here today to come onto the show. He works nights. He's here in the middle of the day, going without sleep to talk about movies, which he's passionate about. All joking, all kidding aside, anything you see on Twitter, it's all in good fun.
We're doing some ribs. Yeah, that's all. That's it. Just ribbing. That's just it. Doing some ribs.
And Joe's a good friend.
And Joe, thank you for being my champion.
Oh, my pleasure, man. I'm happy to be here.
I will not be back on Real Spoilers. I don't think that's a rib, but if Joe had his way, maybe. But maybe someday.
I agree.
Maybe someday.
Yeah, we'll get you back.
Never,
you'll be back.
Never say never.
That's right.
All right, folks. Thank you, Joe, for coming on, man. We got to do it again sometime. And
yes, please.
It's always a pleasure having you on. You're a good pal, and it's been as a listener of yours for a while now to be able to connect with you this year. And be able to joke around on the internet and through DMs and all that sort of stuff. It's been great. We consider you a friend of the show. You're welcome here anytime, and we appreciate your time.
I appreciate that.
Yep. If time away from sleep and your wife and your family. So we.
Oh, I mean, the first one's the more important.
Yeah. Apparently, she's not a binge lord, so that works out.
Nope. She's not even a Patreonic. She's not even a real spoiler. League of Show Share.
I think what she sacrifices in time of letting her husband go talk about movies.
That's true.
Talk about Enola Holmes.
And seeing movies. I had the kid with me for that one, so that was all right.
All right. Well, hey, Joe, we appreciate you, man, and we'll have you back on in the future. And until next time, binge on.
Keep telling yourself that.